Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Hardline, everybody. 590 The Fan, Kevin Essen, 590thefan.com. I am TJ Moe. Along with John Hadley, we are hanging out with you on this Friday evening, talking a lot of football. Before we go any further, I got to tell you about our fine folks over at Royal Banks and what they're doing. Again, they, like any other sponsor, purchase time here in order to promote their stuff. Here's what they're doing instead of just promoting all the fine deals and everything they do, which, by the way, they do have fine deals. We're going to tell you all about that throughout the time. But instead, they wanted to tell you about some of the charity stuff they're doing because these kids deserve it and they know it. So Royal Banks has something called the Boo Bear Drive. Royal Banks of Missouri is conducting their annual Boo Bear Drive right now. They collect all new and used stuffed animals to give to children who might not otherwise have gifts for Christmas. New bears go to children's hospitals treating kids who are battling cancer. Used bears to children's shelters. None of your donations are wasted. The stuffed animals that are deemed too used go to the Humane Society as toys for dogs who are sheltered there. So they're taking care of people everywhere, folks. Just bring your stuffed animal to any of the 11 Royal Banks locations. That is the kind of thing that separates Royal Banks from any other place you could go. That is a group of people right now that are trying to take care of kids with cancer, that are trying to take care of kids who are at local shelters, dogs at local shelters, and that is the only thing they want to talk about right now. So they, on this alone, have earned your business. I can assure you they will take care of you. Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. Seriously, go take your stuffed animals to one of the Royal Banks locations. A kid fighting cancer right now deserves a smile, and you can help provide it. So go do that. We are going to jump into some more NFL talk right this very moment. I love the NFL. The NFL is my first love. I have turned into a bit of a college football guy, but when I was 9 years old, the St. Louis Rams won the Super Bowl, and my dad had season tickets, bought PSLs, all the stuff that went with it, and I had no, you know, at I think it was 1995 when they came here. I remember going, like, on my birthday every year, my dad would take me to one of the games. And so at 5 and 6 and 7 years old, we weren't really a college football family. We were an NFL family, and we supported the heck out of the Rams. And so I, when I was a kid, just wanted to play for the Rams. And eventually, I have turned into a college football guy. I love Mizzou. That's what worked out for me. I love the SEC, but my first love is the NFL. And the amount of storylines they can provide and do provide all year long, I think, is unmatched. And this year has maybe the best in recent history.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you whatsoever. Like I said, I'm excited.
It really is a nice place to be. Obviously, we have the Patriots, who are where they always are at this time of the year, and that is out front. The Patriots may not be the one seed, but they're going to probably have a first-round bye. That is where the Patriots sit, and that's where they sit virtually every year. And then when they do play, they get a home game. And if they have to go somewhere, it's for the AFC title game, but many times they're the number one overall seed. So the Patriots, that's partially how they've gone into winning. I mean, if you're ever going to take anything away from the Patriots, you say they've had a weak division, which has given them an advantage of going through the playoffs at home and therefore an easier road. Now, I don't subscribe to that as far as what would be able to happen. You earn all of that. And, you know, you don't have the same terrible division. I think you make your division look terrible, and you, because you're so good, make others react to you. But the Patriots find themselves in a familiar place, and this week they are playing Pittsburgh, who they have utterly dominated. Now, I have the Patriots winning this game. I think the Patriots, you know, are in a play. Actually, I believe Vegas has Pittsburgh favored in this game, but I am, even after last week, and maybe even especially after last week, in a position where when you have the kind of hiccups that the Patriots had last week, and it wasn't just one. We pointed this out all week, you did especially, talking about Tom Brady taking the sack before the half that cost them points. I mean, this was a chip shot gimme. Gostkowski doesn't make those kind of misses. So you cost yourself points in the most un-Tom Brady-like fashion possible. And then Belichick having Gronk on the field at the end of the game. But the reaction is what, to me, was so impressive. Belichick said, it's my fault. Starts with me. I got to put guys in position to win. It's all situational football. And Brady said, that's ridiculous. This is totally my fault. If we just get those points, we win. And then Gronk says, I should have made the tackle. We could have won easy. You have a whole group of guys that said, my bad, my fault. And now it's basically a non-story outside of we're very surprised the Patriots made those mistakes. And then Pittsburgh is sort of on the opposite end. They're in utter chaos. They just lost to the Oakland Raiders. And they're going into Pittsburgh. The line has shifted, actually. The Patriots are two-point favorites. And I think the Patriots are going to roll this weekend against a team that really hasn't had it buttoned up under Mike Tomlin. The last time they really had – I know they won a Super Bowl, but the last time they really have had it buttoned up was under Bill Cowher.
Yeah, it's just funny how things change, because both teams had an opportunity to be sitting in a sweet position and watched it just all be erased in a matter of seconds. Because right now, if Pittsburgh does win this game, they find themselves only a half game from the Patriots, with the Patriots being the fourth seed. Yeah, technically the fourth seed, but they would be playing a tougher wild card team, in my mind, than they would be if they were sitting at number three. But anyhow, the point of the matter is they had a glorious chance if they finish off the Raiders. Now all of a sudden, New England's coming to town. You beat New England, you're ahead of them. And New England, vice versa. New England had a chance to give themselves some buffer. They'd be coming in at 10-3 with Pittsburgh sitting there at 7-5-1. You got yourself a 2.5 game lead. So even if you lose, you got some breathing room.
Right.
Now the Patriots lose, and that breathing room becomes, well, you're starting to suck for a little oxygen. You know, this is one of those games that, based on past history with what Belichick has done against Tomlin, that there's, as much as I want to say, anytime that you can get points with the Steelers at home, you take them. You have to consider just how poorly they played at the time, and they were horrendous against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they were in a sense fortunate to be ahead in that game.
Oh, I know.
There were some big plays in the fourth quarters. They were lucky to be in that game. And besides that, maybe one of the most surprising stats of the year is Pittsburgh's 3-3 at home.
Yes.
Pittsburgh loses this game to New England. The best they can finish is 500 at home. The Steelers rarely finish 500 or below at home. Rarely. So there's a lot of interesting stats to go along with the storylines with this game. I'll just put it to you this way. It's impossible to pick against the Patriots. Can the Steelers win? Absolutely. Absolutely. But considering that when Belichick and Brady's been together, they've just embarrassed the Steelers. And if there is a clutch team in the AFC, it has been New England. Being a Dolphin fan, ultimately respecting New England greatly, but being a Dolphin fan, I'm hoping Pittsburgh beats them. I doubt they will. I doubt they will. By the way, how glorious is it to be sitting there? And it's the only team in the league that has a winning record falling into this scenario. But how about the Dolphins sitting there at 7-6 with a minus 55 point differential?
Yep. Yep.
They are a minus 55 point differential.
Well, yeah.
76. Just real quick, not to bore you, but real quick. The Ravens, 7-6, plus 80. The Colts, 7-6, plus 49. Chargers, I'm not sure. Oh, you know what? Actually, I missed a team. Tennessee's minus 3 as well. Tennessee's 7-6,
mm-hmm.
At minus 3. But it's not minus 55.
Yeah, came in one game. They lost to the Patriots by 31 points early in the season.
Yeah. But no, the point is even, and it's just like with rushing yards and passing yards, I always try to take out the top. Even if you take out that game, they're still down about 4 touchdowns in scoring differential.
Yep.
With a winning record.
Isn't that
which
crazy?
Just rarely happens. But you know what? They're doing what teams need to do in this league, and that's taking care of business at home. When was the last time that you saw the Dolphins 6-1 at home?
It's been a while, although they do own the Patriots there for whatever reason. I don't know that is.
Last 5 years, it's been four of the 5 years they won. But they the Chiefs have a better record than the Dolphins. The Patriots have a better record than the Dolphins, and the Rams have a better record than them. Those are the only three teams that have better records at 6-0. The Dolphins are at 6-1. The Dolphins have been really good at home this year.
Uh-huh. The Patriots right now sitting as the number two seed, and that is not wholly based on record, but that is they're going to be behind who the they're going to start. They're going to be the number two seed regardless. I don't think they're going to find their way into a one seed here. And they have the tiebreaker with Houston after beating them early on in the season. Week one, beat them 27-20. So the Patriots are in prime position to do what they've done year in and year out, get a bye, then you win a game and find themselves in the AFC title game. The Patriots play for the AFC title game virtually every season. It is uncanny, but, I think, unmatched in sports.
Yeah, I'm not as secure as that with you. If they, that's why this game to me is so monstrous on Sunday. If they lose this game, you know, Texans play on Saturday. They lose this game, all of a sudden they're down to the three seed right out of the box. They lose this game to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's only half a game behind them. So I'm not as sure about the Patriots being a two seed as you are at this point.
Yeah, you're assuming a Houston win over the Jets, which I assume is
until this game is
fair.
Yeah, the Patriots win this game against the Steelers, and I'm comfortable. I'm very, very comfortable. Yeah. The ironic thing is, the Chargers could wind up with the second best record in the AFC and be playing a wild card game, and it could very well be against Pittsburgh or New England.
Yep. A lot of stuff going on there. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. What do you make of all the criticism of Kirk Cousins? There has been a lot. And it's because they struggled so much against Seattle, but it's before that. This is a roster that I think a lot of people expected coming into the season, especially after what they were able, even miraculously, to accomplish last year. This is a great roster. It really is, up and down. I know Sendejo's out. They've had injuries a little bit. But for the most part, they've got their guys. Everson Griffin back from his brief hiatus with his mental health and all that. They've got some dudes, man. They really do. And people are looking to Kirk Cousins as the guy that put up some gaudy stats. He threw for 5,000 yards 1 year when he was with Washington. He was the guy that outplayed his contract every year, kept getting the franchise tag. And now he's sitting at 6-6-1 when you get into a little bit better division, even though it's not been a great division this year. The Packers down. The Lions not been great. You get into it with the Bears. And where do you see Kirk Cousins as a guy? And you sort of mentioned it earlier. I think he's the type that falters. In my opinion, I don't think he's the guy to lead it. But do you think he is the guy that could lead it into, with this roster, a similar fashion that Case Keenum was able to do last year?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, we've seen Cousins going on a roll in Washington. He's certainly capable of it, and he's playing with a much better defense than he ever did in Washington.
Yes.
You know. By the way, I will quickly drop the fact that I would never underestimate the loss of Sendejo. Now, like you say, they still have some really good players, but that kid at times is an absolute dominant force, and in my mind, one of the few truly intimidating forces in the league.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And then you pair him with Harrison Smith, and that's the most dominant safety group you'll see in the league.
Oh, literally, when they're playing at their best, one of the best combinations we've seen this era.
I think that's right.
That's how good they are together.
I think that's right.
Anyhow, I mean, between Harrison Smith's injuries and Sendejo's injuries, not nearly as much as I would like to see, but anyhow. I understand the frustrations with Cousins from two standpoints. It's very similar to the St. Louis Blues, in that there was so much expectation going in that it almost set up for disappointment no matter what happened. You know, if the Blues weren't a top four team and appeared to be a Western Conference contender this year, we as Blues fans, we're going to be disappointed. When Minnesota got so close last year and people are thinking, man, if they just had a little bit better quarterback and they bring in Cousins, I think most people thought, and I certainly did, that they were a shoe into the playoffs, and let's see how Cousins finally does when he gets his shot on the big stage. You know? Well, his play is a big reason why they're just fighting for a spot on the big stage, let alone having any type of guarantee, because he has really been horrendous at times. I just don't know. I mean, they fire their offensive coordinator. I don't know what the problem is. I've never seen Kirk Cousins look lost. At times this year, he's looked absolutely lost.
He has.
You know?
And it's with a unique setup, too, Heads, because we just mentioned Stephon Diggs doesn't drop the ball. That goofy commercial about him, you know, it's having the hands, he just drops nothing. He's going out to get his mail, and he's, you know, he rips it out of the ground, and he goes to go get his dumpster, and he can't. It's like that's been true this year. He's got one drop on 125 targets. Adam Thielen is setting records for a guy that gets 100-yard games game in and game out. Dalvin Cook can really friggin' play. I have no answers about why a guy like Kirk Cousins, who I think is very intelligent on the field. I know there's a difference between intelligence when you're standing in front of a podium, which we've all seen, and out there on the field. I think he's a high IQ guy on the field. So I can't tell you why he's lost. I truly don't know where to begin on that.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think it's very, very, very fair to put him among the top five enigmas in the NFL. But it goes back to the conversation we had previously. If he does find himself, which means not overthrowing guys. I mean, you can put up big numbers. I mean, you can complete 50-yard passes 2-3 times a game and put up big numbers. But on 3rd and 7, when you're overthrowing a guy at the 2-yard line, you just cost yourself points.
Right.
Or you throw the pick into the middle of 3 defenders and you're trying to figure out what the hell he saw that we didn't. You cost yourself points in big games. I mean, how could the Vikings possibly have a more frustrating loss than last night when the defense was absolutely superb in doing its job? I mean, the defense gave that team an opportunity to win, and every time the Vikings were granted an opportunity until the end when Seattle was just basically playing perennial ball, every time the Vikings were given an opportunity to take a stand, some kind of woeful, whether it was a sack or a bad pass or a drop ball, they fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
They fell apart. I mean, everybody wants to point to the field goal that was blocked. Well, what about the fact that they just looked so disorganized and ridiculous and missed a fourth down opportunity at the one to take the lead just seconds earlier?
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I mean, it's just, I don't get it. All I know is, once again, it's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to the playoffs because, I mean, I'm telling you, I would not be remotely surprised to see the Vikings miss the playoffs, and I would not be remotely surprised to see the Vikings win the Super Bowl, and I don't know that I've ever said that before in my life.
An enigma indeed. That's what happens when you don't know what you're going to get out of your quarterback, who has proven that at times he can play at a very high level. Last thing, Hads, we only have a few minutes left here in the segment. Of the 7-6 teams in the AFC fighting for that final spot, you have the Baltimore Ravens, the Miami Dolphins, Indianapolis Colts, and the Tennessee Titans. The Broncos are 6-7 still in the fight, but we'll leave them out for the sake of discussion right now. The way the Ravens defense is playing in the rushing attack with a healthy Lamar Jackson, they probably hold on. However, the Indianapolis Colts defense is doing something I would not have guessed in a million years. That has been one of the league's very best defenses for about half the season. Halfway through, I can't tell you why or what. This was one of the worst secondaries I've ever seen, and it has turned into a spectacular defense, along with Andrew Luck, who is still in the MVP discussion. I wouldn't even be remotely surprised if Indy makes a run at this thing.
on this glorious Friday evening, if we stopped by Royal Banks and said, hey, you five customers, here's $1,000. Name me three Colts defenders. They couldn't do it. We could go across to the Kirkwood Brew House. Hey, any of you customers, here's $1,000. Name me three Colts defenders. They couldn't do it. We could go to any one of our great sponsors and walk in with that $1,000, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't name three players on the Colts defense.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's truly amazing.
There are guys that cover the sport heads that can't do that. Like, everybody's heard of Jabal Sheard because he used to play for the Patriots. But it's like, if you're just a guy that maybe you're a dude in, you know, Seattle or Buffalo, and you're like, yeah, you sort of pay attention, but you're not. You have no idea who some of these guys on this defense is. Because they're truly just a bunch of dudes that are playing out of their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, again, it's actually fun to watch. I mean, that's why Tennessee's going nowhere. Ain't got it. Won't happen. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Denver, not going to happen. And unfortunately, injuries did that, because that would have been a fun team to see in a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but looking down the stretch for that other team, you know, I just wish my Dolphins had had Tannehill all year long. It might have been different. I don't see them getting it, because I just don't look at them as being a clutch team. Baltimore and Indianapolis, I find not only to be the most likely teams, but just a really compelling story.
I agree.
Because if there is one city that the Baltimore Ravens fans would love to knock out of the playoffs in the last week of the year, it's the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. We got to roll on that note here. We got to go to a break here. But, Hads, it has been fun. And have a fun weekend. This is going to be as exciting of an NFL weekend that I'm anticipating. I had no idea last weekend would be the way it was. That was spectacular. I am looking forward to the games this weekend, not so much because of the matchups, albeit there are some good ones, New England, Pittsburgh, and such, but because of the potential ramifications of everything that can happen. And I'm looking forward to the potential tie, loss, 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 win, loss, tie scenarios that you threw out.
And the funny thing is, at least once a year it happens.
Yeah, yeah. And this year, everybody ties.
Once a year, something like that happens.
That's right. Yeah. All right.
It's normally to a team being knocked out, but it happens. No, I'm serious, TJ. It was a fun hour, and I'm glad you had the time to spend with me.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot. We will get back at it next week. You have a good weekend. We will be back shortly. We're going to talk to Howard Balzer.
Football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen up. Get your listening ears on. Good stuff here. So we'll be back shortly talking with Howard. It's a hard line.